Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Hi, Marshall. Good to talk to you today.
Well, good morning, Heidi. Happy to be here.
Let's talk about some of the stories you've been covering in the last week, including a visit from one of Minnesota's senators. Tina Smith was in Ely. Why was she there, and what did she learn?
She was there as part of a rural economy tour, which she has been apparently engaged in for a while, trying to visit various parts of rural Minnesota to learn about some of the economic development ideas and concepts that are bearing fruit. And she's trying to highlight those and hopes to do more to encourage innovative approaches to economic development in rural areas, small towns. So Ely was, you know, one of the stops on this tour. While she was in Ely, she did stop at the Ely Bloomington Community Hospital to kind of learn about some of their expansion plans. And they have been going through a number of expansions here recently, and they've got a lot of new ideas. So they're trying to be innovative. And also she stopped at a facility known as the 10 Below Networking Facility, and that's like a business incubator that's relatively new in Ely. And also she stopped at the Crapola World Headquarters. Folks don't know what Crapola is. It's a play on granola, and it's a granola product. It's produced in Ely by a local couple, Brian and Andrea Strom. So they were able to give the senator a tour of their operation. Of course, you know, because she was in Ely, another issue did come up for sure, which was the copper nickel mining debate. She did wade into that one a little bit. You know, typically it seems like our two U.S. senators have been pretty cautious on that issue, not really wanting to take a position one way or another. But she did fault the Trump administration for halting the study, that two-year study on the proposed mineral withdrawal. That would have been a 20-year ban on any new mineral leasing affecting about 250,000 acres of the Superior National Forest. And the administration had decided to abandon that study when it was only about 4 months from completion. And that's been subject to a lot of criticism. And she also weighed in. She thinks that was a mistake and that all the information, or as much information as possible, should be leveraged in making any kind of decision about how to proceed with that project. And that's the Twin Metals project that we'd be talking about there. That's the one near Ely. The other one, Polymet, which, of course, is much more advanced, that's located further southwest of Ely near Hoyt Lakes. You know, I suspect she's probably made some friends and probably made a few enemies with some of her comments on that. But it's hard to come to Ely and not do that these days on that particular issue.
Well, a more fun issue than politics, movies. Local movie star a mile from you. Stars, more than one.
Stars. We have two honest-to-goodness movie stars. And they're about a mile from us, actually, on our little gravel road out on the edge of the Lost Lake Swamp up here. And they actually moved in a couple years ago. We hadn't really got to know them too well. They're actually a pair of Alaskan Malamutes. They're named Saffron and Kira, but they are going to be known forevermore to the larger public as Balto and Togo because they are the stars in an upcoming major motion picture, The Great Alaskan Race. This is set to open in 500 markets across the U.S. October 25th. And so we had to go and interview, of course, the stars, as well as their owner, Ashley Thamert, who was actually with them during the shooting because they needed somebody who was familiar with the dogs and knew how to, you know, run a dog sled. Because the stars they were working with just generally hadn't had that kind of experience. So she was there as the handler for her two dogs. And these are actually the first two dogs she ever got as a kid. She was 14 when she first got Saffron. And so that's, and Ashley's not that old. She was actually working out in Colorado at the time, and film crew decided they were going to film most of the scenes in high elevations in Colorado, and they happened to use the company she was working for. It was a dog sled outfitting company, and worked with them, and Ashley got brought into the whole thing, and turned out they used her dog, so she was in charge of them. And it was quite an interesting production effort. That it was very interesting working with the crew, and the crew was from Hollywood. So they had almost no experience working in, you know, deep snow and cold, and so that was interesting. She said that they had to kind of learn the ropes of operating in those kind of conditions. And then, of course, Ashley decided that it was too warm, you know, down in Colorado, so she had to move up to northern Minnesota to have more consistent cold for her dogs, because
sure,
they do love the cold.
So she must be really proud of Saffron and Kira.
She is, yeah, and I can see why. I mean, some of the footage, we got to see some stills anyway from the movie. They're pretty cool. So I'm sure this is going to be a movie that a lot of folks in northern Minnesota are going to want to turn out to see, especially now that they know that two local dogs are the main stars of this film.
Well, let's move on to another story you reported on, a wolf attack in Ely. That happens sometimes. What made this one stand out?
Well, I think it was just the brazen nature of this attack that really kind of caught some folks by surprise. And this was not an attack on a human. It was an attack on a dog. And, of course, they're pretty commonplace up here, but this was done, you know, usually those wolf attacks on dogs happen at night. And this one was middle of the day, and the wolf was came out and grabbed a small dog right on the Trezona Trail, which is a paved walking and biking trail right in Ely. It gets a lot of use by, you know, people and dogs. And the wolf just grabbed it. It's a smaller dog, and the wolf grabbed it and ran off into the woods. And the owner, you know, took chase after it and managed to actually, you know, get the wolf to drop the dog. And the dog survived the incident. But the wolf continued to stalk the individual and the three dogs that he had with him. He had three smaller dogs with him on the trail. And they stalked them all the way back to his pickup truck. And so this was unusual behavior for a wolf, you know, to be that aggressive and unafraid around humans. And certainly it caught the attention of some of the folks at the International Wolf Center, and they've been trying to do some educational work, and there's been a warning put out for folks who are walking in that area to be on the lookout for this wolf and to make sure that they're keeping dogs, you know, under control. It seems unlikely that they were on a leash that, you know, a wolf would come out and grab a dog, but these dogs were, you know, like, it's not unusual when walking in areas where there aren't homes right nearby. It's not unusual for people to let their dogs run off leash, but certainly in that situation in Ely right now, I'm sure a lot of folks are probably keeping their dogs on the leash and pretty close at hand to prevent situations like this from happening again, because that's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, before we go, we've got to hear the resolution of this story about Towers Lunch Lady. You told us before about Marilyn Turnbull. She's been the head lunch lady for many years, but was never paid as a head cook. What did she do about that, and then what was the resolution?
Well, she actually filed a lawsuit eventually. You know, she'd had a firm from the Twin Cities that had found out about her case, actually, from reading our paper, because we had done a story about her efforts to get fair pay, and in the end, she was put in touch with them, and they agreed to represent her. I think, you know, in the end, Marilyn was a little disappointed. She did get a settlement, which was approved by the school board this week, and she receives a lump sum of $12,500. A portion of that will go to the law firm that represented her, but not much of it. She'll end up with the vast majority of it. But even so, it was something, but it was a lot less than what she feels she deserves. For many years, she was paid as an assistant cook, even though there was no other cook there at the school. She was there by herself most of the time, and if anyone else was there helping in any way, they were always working under her. And based on the job descriptions for a head cook and a assistant cook within the school district, I mean, she certainly, when you look at what she did, it certainly met the qualification of a head cook, but she was paid less than that as an assistant cook for many years, and I think she felt at the end that, you know, she really was underappreciated and underpaid, was just basically given a raw deal, and the school district wasn't really very willing to make amends.
And she's no longer there in that role?
As part of the settlement, she retired. And she was looking to retire anyway, so that wasn't a big thing, although she said she probably would like to, you know, be able to volunteer sometime in the school, but it didn't sound like that was even a possibility.
That is Marshall Hellenberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read their stories, find out how to subscribe to the Timberjay at timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in with you next Friday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.